Shall we turn again this evening to the book of Genesis, turning once again to chapter 9 to begin our reading, the book of Genesis in chapter 9. Now, once again this evening, I would ask for your patience as we come to finish off this particular section of the book of Genesis. It's a difficult subject, as the one that we had last week with regards to the sin of Noah, but we believe it's what the Lord has recorded, and so we can't very well hurdle over parts of the scriptures which the Lord has set in the particular order in which he has set them for our well-being, spiritually and indeed temporally. So we're going to begin to read then in verse 18 of chapter 9, read a few verses of chapter 10, just to get the setting of that chapter, and then begin to read in verse 11 in the first 9 verses there, which will form the main part of our message for this evening. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the 3 sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his 2 brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. Then we have the list of the sons of Japheth, and then in verse 6, the list of the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. Now, verse 8 we might read. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne, in the land of Shinar. Then over in verse 21, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. And then the list of the children of Shem, so the children of Japheth, the children of Ham, the children of Shem. Now, chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach on to heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Amen. This evening in our sermons in the book of Genesis, we come to what we might well call the final episode in the general history of mankind that is set out for us in the first 11 chapters of the book. Here after the book of Genesis, and indeed the whole of the Old Testament scriptures of God, will be taken up with one particular grouping of people, that which begins in the next chapter, indeed at the end of chapter 11, with the call of that man Abram, and which goes on through the whole of the Old Testament in history and in Psalm and in prophecy, until our Lord Jesus Christ finally appears at God's appointed time to die and to reconcile this fallen mankind back onto God again. In these first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, then, we have seen how the whole history of man has been compressed into such a small spectrum of space. We are given the whole account of the creation that the Word of God sets before us. We're told about the fall of man. We're shown the promise of redemption. It's spoken in word, it's set forth for us, you remember, in picture form and an emblem. We're shown the distinct division that creeps into this world right at the beginning, as that young man Cain and that young man Abel both come, brothers, to offer their sacrifices before God. And one finds the acceptance with God and the other doesn't. We've seen how those two distinct groupings then develop and harden and polarize, so that we have the one group which are called the Cainites, the other which are called the Sethites, until both begin to mingle again, until the distinction becomes almost obliterated. And when God in his judgment then sends forth the flood, saving only that man Noah and his family out of the flood in the ark, which God has commanded them to build and to make. And the Lord God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So Noah comes into the ark with his family. God opens up the fountains of the deep, sends down the rains from heaven, breaks the canopy of water, you remember, that separated the heavens from the heavens. And the great deluge comes, and only out of that ark at the end then come this man Noah and his family into the new beginning of the earth, which the Lord our God has ordained should be. Now then, as we saw last week, what we are confronted with in this new beginning is something of a query that we have to answer indeed before we go on. You see, if God has judged the wickedness of the world, then does that mean that there is in fact no more wickedness in the world? Does that mean then that the old enmity which God pronounced right away back there in the Garden of Eden between himself and the old serpent, the devil, and the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, does that mean that that enmity now has gone forever? God has judged the wickedness of the earth. He has saved a grouping out of the world. Does that mean then that that saved grouping out of the world is something new, something entirely different? Well, of course it isn't. And right at the beginning, we're shown the nature of man, and it's set out for us ever so clearly, even in the sin of righteous Noah himself, even in Noah, and especially in Ham, his young son, you remember, who commits that terrible sin and brings God's judgment upon his son Canaan in such a way that the division is clearly seen as yet, and the enmity is clearly seen to have been established, not just in Eden for that space of time when God was dealing with man in general, but for all time, right through the whole Word of God. The same thing pertains and the same thing holds good. You remember again the words. And the Lord blesses Shem and he blesses Japheth. And he passes that curse upon Cain, and cursed be Cain. And he says, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. There would be the opposition. There would be that enmity yet. He speaks to Shem, does Noah, in God's word, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God's going to begin to deal with a people now, a people that he's going to separate out in the earth, a token of that redeemed people that he's going to have out of all fallen mankind in the church. And you remember, as we said, God is going to bring that Hebrew people out of Eber, one of the sons of Shem. He's going to bring them into the land of Canaan. And when he brings them into the land of Canaan, Canaan shall indeed be the servant of Shem, and it shall be filled up, but only filled up in picture form, until the fullness of the picture comes when God sends forth his Son, and the other bit of the word comes true. God shall enlarge Japheth. He's the elder, you see, is Japheth. He's the first. He's mankind. He's the Gentile. He's the world in general. God shall enlarge Japheth, Shem shall be small, but God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And in a word, my friends, God will deal with this Hebrew people, you see, a token of the people that he's yet to bring, until the fullness of his time comes, and the world, the Gentiles, fallen mankind, the redeemed out of every kindred and tongue and nation, shall come and dwell in the tents of Shem. They shall come, be persuaded to come into that religion which God had ordained from the beginning to be in Jesus Christ his Son. And so it would all be accomplished for the Lord's purposes. Shall never be thwarted. Never. But for the moment, it's enmity on the one hand, and yet through the enmity, there is the victory. The warfare goes on. The alienation is there yet. And circumstances will pertain as they were from the fall, even until all things come to an end. Well, then, we move on for this evening, and as I said, we come to look especially at the first 9 verses of chapter 11. We ask you to bear with us. Soon we're going on to Abraham and to the covenants and to all the life of that man, and maybe we'll get a break then. However, the first 11 verses of chapter 9, especially with references to those few verses in chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. Now, can I just mention this? You see, what you have in the first 9 verses of chapter 11 is the background and the explanation to the state of things that you read about in chapter 10. You see, there's one thing that characterizes that chapter 10, and it's the repetition of the fact that the earth is divided, that the people are all in their different tongues. Well, then, chapter 11 tells us how the earth was divided and how the people receive these different tongues. It's all got to do with the building of the Tower of Babel in that city of Babel, or Babylon. It's the same word. That man Nimrod rises up there in the plains of Shinar, and he builds that great tower. And that thing stands there in that city of Babel, stands the Tower of Babel, and it stands, my friends, as the epitome of this enmity of man against God, which is going to go on until God finally sends his judgment at the end of all things. It's also then a glorious token for the Lord's people, a warning to any who are not, but a token to the Lord's people that although evil seems to prevail,